Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Cyclocross Social Podcast. National Championships weekend has drawn to an end. It's over now, only Greece is left this season. We've had a couple of great races in this episode of the Cyclocross Social Podcast. Issam and I will be going over all the results, but we'll center around the three most important ones: Belgium, Netherlands, UK, and probably France and Italy will get some honourable mentions there as well before we go over the rest. Issam, it's going to be a long one. Thank you for being here.
Yes, no worries, and thank you for having me.
It's always a special weekend, National Championships weekend. There is so much going on, but in recent years, the Belgian Championships have been the most prestigious. So let's start with that. The men raced today on Sunday. It was cold. There was snow during the men's U23 race and all morning. Didn't stick on the ground, but there was a lot of mud. It was cold, very cold. The race before it started was wide open. All the favorites, or people who should be considered a contender, had something. There was some remark behind their name, whether it was illness, whether it was dehydration, whether it was inconsistency, whether it was a lack of experience. Everybody had something, and most people didn't want the top favorite role. We could see that in the first two laps of the race, as there was a leading pack of 10 riders, but from those 10, it became clear that there were four that were slightly stronger than the rest. That was the Paul Sauzer duo, Michael van Tourenhout, the defending champion, together with Eli Izerbeet. They were joined up front by Thibaut Nijs and Joran Vizeure. This went back and forth a couple of times. There were a couple of small attacks, a couple of times that the chasing group got back or almost got back, but these four were stronger than the rest. Big attack came in just after the halfway point of the race, 35-40 minutes into the race, when Eli Izerbeet placed a big attack. He pushed on the big hills in the beginning of the course and opened the gap on Vizeure, who was in second. Nijs was in fourth, needed to pass Vizeure and Van Tourenhout before he got onto the wheel of Izerbeet. Nijs did what he could, but made a couple of mistakes on a couple of crucial sections and fell back. From there, nobody came close to Eli Izerbeet anymore, and Izerbeet went on to take his first elite national title. Second place, that did not go to Thibaut Nijs. After he was with Izerbeet for a while, he fell back. He fell into the hands of Vizeure and Van Tourenhout, who also rapidly left him behind. Nijs would drop all the way down to sixth as he was crawling in the final lap. In that final lap, Vizeure was stronger than Van Tourenhout, and the young rider from Crelan-Corendon powered away in the sandpit even from Michael Van Tourenhout on his way to a silver medal. Van Tourenhout claimed bronze. Issam, I think Michael Van Tourenhout's uncle, Sven Van Tourenhout, the Belgian national team coach, said it very well after the race. This was a race where nobody wanted to be the favorite. There were people saying they'd been sick before. I mean, we had Zweig saying he was sick in the Christmas period. Izerbeet had a story there. Nijs had a story about fitness. Everybody had something. Nobody really wanted the favorite role. But if 2 weeks ago we would have asked somebody, who is your top favorite for the Belgian Championship, almost everybody would have said Eli Izerbeet. He's the only one consistently up there. The past 2 weeks caused a bit of confusion around the state of Izerbeet. We can debate long or short about that, but I don't think it's worth it. Ultimately, Izerbeet is a worthy champion, whether you like him or not. He has been the best Belgian rider over the championship. He was the best rider on the day. He deserved that title. And I thought it was really interesting what he said in his post-race interview, that from the 30-minute mark onwards, he felt like he was in a groove, in a zone, like everything was blacked out around him. He said, the only thing I was thinking about was choosing my lines, perfectioning everything. That was the only thing I was thinking about. I couldn't hear anything. It was me, my bike, and my thoughts, and I just went to victory. He said he was in his zone, had his day. That's what it's all about at the championship, a deserved champion.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't know if having your day was the only factor today. I think that's, like you said, this is basically what we have seen so far this season. If you look at the strengths of all the riders, Izerbeet was, in my opinion, the strongest Belgian rider this season so far. And I think what is interesting to see with Izerbeet was on every course, every type of circumstances that we had, he was doing quite well compared to others that struggled in certain conditions and were not so consistent over the course of this season so far. And, you know, I've said it before, I saw Izerbeet always as the main guy for this championship, but it was definitely difficult to guess where he would be at with everything that was happening. And, you know, like Van Turnhout said, it was just so difficult and we got a little confused. I wouldn't even call it confused, but just with the information that we had, it was very hard to guess who was going to be at their best shape on that day. And I'm very happy for Izerbeet, to be honest, because I think that he really deserved this recognition of just being, you know, the best Belgian rider at the moment. And I think he truly is that. Obviously, you have to take into account that Van Aert didn't start and all that. But regardless of that, I think that he definitely deserved this title. And it's important for his career, because I think that he needs these kind of races, that he needs to take these titles. Because if you do not do that, you will always get that story of the Izerbeet that flops on such a day. And it was even after the race, it was mentioned in the interviews on his not so successful races that he had before this. So great to see that he was able to pull it off. It was a strong race from him and he was in control, in my opinion, from the start of the race, because he tried it in the beginning to put the pace on with Van de Putte, who, you know, couldn't really maintain that over the course of the race. But for Izerbeet, I don't think there was a certain moment where he really panicked. You know, when he was at the front, he made sure that he was going to stay at the front. And yeah, very strong ride.
Izerbeet now is a lot more mature than he was a couple of seasons ago. Izerbeet as a U23, first years as a lead, was very wild. He made ludicrous statements in the media, and he did give some of the salt and pepper which cyclocross is known for. But he was out of line, especially with the results he had. He couldn't really back up the comments he made. That's completely changed now, and you do indeed still have like the story of Izerbeet always chokes at championships. You had them after Europeans this year, but today he was there. And on this type of course, it just requires a lot of power and just the complete package. You need to be able to run, you need to be able to put out the power, you need to be able to ride up a hill, you need to be able to make the right decisions. The mud also made the sand a bit more important. They were riding on the Rhino tire thread. That makes the sand pit a bit harder. It wasn't the hardest sand pit, but with a low speed of entrance, and that played a role. Izerbeet did that very well. Cold conditions, something Izerbeet was not exactly known for to be well in until now, especially because of those races in BLS and Namur, in both which he needed to withdraw from the race, being he had hypothermia there. So he said now today something that he had a lot of heating pads in his shoes and in his pants, even just to make sure he's warm, because he says he still struggles with the cold. But everything just came together for him on this day. It was a mature, composed ride, and I can only take my hat off for that, to keep it together in such a way. And the mist before, I feel this year it's a bit more. I mean, it's always present before the Belgian championships. They try and create some mist. And I don't want to have the favorites role, but yeah, this year it felt like a bit more extreme. The fact that everybody was all of a sudden bombing Joran Vizeur to top favorite, and we'll talk about his great performance in a bit, said enough. Joran Vizeur today surprised with a second place, but the fact that there was so much mist that this surprise was not really a surprise, because everybody had tipped him as a clear favorite here, also says something. Maybe that mist all went into that snowstorm of this morning, and once that settled down, Elisabeth took the victory in ice-cold fashion.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that it was that the media was also trying to find someone that was willing to take the role. I think Laurens Zweek was definitely not shy of saying that he was wants to watch for this race, but you know, couldn't really fulfill this that ambition. But for Vizeur, it was like we were watching him race at Dublin in a way. I think that it was a very strong ride, and it is not for this year that he's going to win a title, but how it looks, it was definitely very good. And this is definitely for him as well a very important race, the way he rode it. And I think he realized that as well when he crossed the line, that you know, these are the results that people will kind of remember. And even if it's for second place, it's just, yeah, it will stick in the memories. And it's just important for the sponsors and for your future as well. I mean, he wasn't definitely in a situation where it was a life or death for his contract. I think he has everything kind of settled. But still, it's something these are the races that you kind of need to build a name for yourself. And he definitely did that today, and he has been doing so far several races this season. And it is going very well. And I feel that if you look at the guys around his age, he's definitely the one that made the biggest step forward in the Belgian squad. So, you know, a job very well done.
Yeah, it was impressive. These are the conditions in which Johan Vizeur does do well. Nevertheless, it's impressive to be up there. I don't think we could have expected much more from him to try and fight Elisabeth. Because what else should he have done? He tried what he could in the beginning of the race. All of a sudden, he was like in the lead together with Thibaut Nice for a while. He was catapulted up front. Maybe he got a little bit too excited there, but I can't really hold it against him. And it's not a big tactical error, like he kept pushing for laps. Once he was in that leading group of four, he positioned himself well in second position. That's where Thibaut Nice should have been, but Vizeur did it. He made sure there were no team tactics being played against him, and when Izerbeet went, he just couldn't respond, and that's completely fine. I do think that Nice made a couple of mistakes today. He didn't execute perfectly today. He was up there for a while. I respect his all-or-nothing attitude today. He threw everything he had at Izerbeet in the hope of winning that title. But a couple of things didn't go right for him. First of all, the start. I don't really blame that. The start here was super weird. It was on the Athletics track, but not one of AstroTurf. No, one of a weird mixture of gravel with sand, which made it super muddy. If you're starting on the right-hand side, you had the inside line on the corner, and it was harder there. It was packed there. You could ride. If you were in the middle, and Thibaut Nice was in the middle, he didn't have another choice because of his starting call-up. He was in like this hard, basically just muddy pack, and obviously you're going to be swallowed by the riders who are either all the way on the inside or all the way on the outside, where it's more packed and they will come flying around you. Took him a while to get back up front, and then his main bottleneck today was the corner before pit one. He could not master that to save his life. He made mistakes there almost every single lap, which cost him 5, 6, 7, in the most extreme case, even 9 seconds on that single straight past pit one. Then later, there was this section with the sand pit, then they went to the stairs, and then they came to the washboard. That's another section which he didn't master. There were a couple of other sections on the course where he was really strong. This weird widest section with the trees alongside it, the corner before there with where they went underneath the bridge with the metal plate there. He was one of the first ones to draw his own line there and ride it. The rest copied that. Those were good sections for him, but the sections that he didn't master cost him too much. He was also in fourth position of that group too long, which cost him too much energy. I don't think that this would have made the difference for him to win. Nice himself said, "I did not have the best day. I just wanted to see what I could do. I wanted to try and win." I respect that attitude. That he then ends sixth, it doesn't really matter to him if he's third like last year or sixth now. You can debate whether that's the right attitude to have. I think ultimately the form also isn't really there. There's some signs of improvement compared to where he came from. We've learned that in Baal he had 3 punctures, in Zonhove he had 2 punctures. There's some improvements there. He's better than what he was around Flamanville. Maybe he can become a little bit better when he goes back to Spain tomorrow. But yeah, ultimately, I think it just wasn't meant to be today for him.
No, I mean, as you said, there were some moments in the race that kind of cost him some time and energy. But I think overall, he just didn't have it to battle it for the podium today. And in the end, it is not a huge surprise. I think that you can definitely see in his form that it's something that looks more and more promising. And I feel that if you look for him in terms of what is coming next with the World Championships, that could be a very good race for him. And that's definitely a race where you want to show yourself, I guess. So I think for him that might come out quite well. But today for the title, it was not there. And I think also for the podium, it was just, he fell just a little short. And, you know, when you see that the podium is not really possible at that point, it's very hard to kind of motivate yourself, and especially if you already went in with that mentality of all or nothing, yeah, then you kind of end up in that nothing scenario, and then in the last lap, you know, really let it go, and there was not much left as well. So, yeah, not really his day, but I think there are still going to be many championships where he will be able to battle it out, maybe for titles. So I think that there is not much to worry for him, and you can take the positives and try to work towards the next goal, which is kind of the world's.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's been a season of ups and downs, and maybe more downs than ups, but Let's look at the entire top 10. Izerbeet won ahead of Viseur and Van Turenhout. There was a story that Van Turenhout had a stomach flu this week, that he couldn't eat for 2-3 days. Don't really know what to make of it. It was a decent ride, but pretty much in line with this season, which actually is my conclusion for the entire top 10, because if we look further, Van der Putten was 4th, Adams was 5th, Nijs 6th, Van der Bos 7th, Lauwensweek 8th, Quinten Hermans 9th, and Lander Loeks 10th. It's kind of reflecting of what we've seen this season. Van Turenhout and Sweek struggling, not there when it matters most of the time. I mean, they have a couple of highs, and most of the time it's like this. That leaves options for riders like Viseur or Van der Putten to have a couple of highs like they had today with a second and a fourth. Adams 5th, hopefully this secures him a world selection. And then there's a couple of riders like Nijs who are sometimes up there, fade during the race and eventually end kind of where they belong. I think for the rest it was not really that much interesting, apart from Johnny Vermeers, who'd been hyped up all week by people that he could become Belgian title, just for him to disappear from the race at the end of the second lap. Then on to the women's race in Belgium, the Woman Elite, which was combined with U23. That took place on Saturday. Conditions in Molenbeke were already bad. They were a bit warmer, but the course was fairly muddy. Fleur Morse had the fastest start to that race, but Sanne Kant quickly took the lead in the first lap. Laura Verdonschot, tipped as the challenger, crashed in one of the corners, which gave Kant a gap. Was that game over? No, because Verdonschot came back together with Ribeirol. We had three leaders, but Sanne Kant in the second lap was showing that she had a skill which the others didn't possess. She was able to ride a couple of big hills in the first part of the course. She powered up the first one, opened a gap, and then tried to ride the second one, but got tangled in the course tape, which allowed Verdonschot to come back. That, however, didn't last long. Kant opened the gap again, and this time it looked to be settled. She opened a 20-second lead over Verdonschot, who had dropped Ribeirol. Ribeirol crashed a couple of times. It was not her day. She fell further back. Verdonschot was 20 seconds behind. Everything looked set in stone. Kant 15 titles in a row. But then when she was on just a straight, she got into a bad rut in the penultimate lap and crashed over the course tape. And it took some time for her to get the going again. By the time she was on her bike, Verdonschot had passed her, but Kant was right in the wheel. Verdonschot seemed unsure what to do in the final lap because she didn't really take any action. She didn't attack when she caught Kant. She was deer in headlights, basically. Kant attacked in the final lap up the big hill, powered to the top again, opened the gap, but then Verdonschot came back just as they reached pit 2. Verdonschot looked to be ready to pose a challenge, but the pit box allocation was crucial. Verdonschot was all the way at the beginning of the pits, Kant was at the end. Kant could ride all the way to her pit box. Verdonschot had to run that entire part of the pit zone because of her bike change. That gave Kant another 3-second gap, but Verdonschot again closed it. Verdonschot, however, took the lead and allowed Kant to sit in the wheel for a bit. Verdonschot placed an attack out of the final sand pit without any effect. It came down to a sprint, and before the bridge, Kant took the lead, took the turn onto the athletics course first, and sprinted to victory ahead of a disappointed Verdonschot, with Ribeirol ending third. That race was some thriller, was a lot going on there. I just described what happened there in the final, and I already gave away my take on it. Verdonschot, during the broadcast, they said that she and their coach, Rob Peters, went through a dozen of scenarios of what to do in the race. But it seemed like they had forgotten to go through the scenario, what would happen if she actually was in a final lap with Sanne Kant. Because she didn't try and take the lead before they went up the big climb. Once she caught up to Kant, she seemed without a plan. She didn't really have a clear idea of when to attack, what to do. With this type of sprint, even if you're slower, you can try and do your best by going out first, because the start-finish straight is super short. She got passed easily by Kant, didn't defend her position, didn't try an audacious dive bomb, and then just basically got herself ridden to the finish where she needed to end second. It was like she was in the back seat of a cab driving around Molenbeke without any idea of where she was going.
It really was the last lap for me was a thriller. There was quite a lot of tension, I have to say. And a really good race overall. I think that Kant made it a little bit more difficult for her than it should have been, because I think that the moment that she rode away from Donschot was definitely crucial, and in my opinion could have been also the final attack, and that would have secured her the win. But then the mistake obviously with the crash, and then you have to recover from it. Donschot comes back, and then there is some hope again. And I think that, as you said, it really looked like Donschot didn't think that scenario through of what if we are in a last lap and we have to battle it out. And I think that even after the fact that Kant passed her, there was till the last corner some moments where you definitely could have made it a little bit more difficult and pass Kant again. I think that Kant left, especially on that last corner before you go on the piste, in a way that there was so much room for Donschot, and so much time as well, because the pace definitely dropped there before that corner. Put it there on the inside, dive and make sure that it wasn't even going to be a tricky move. It was basically you have to place your bike there, and that was all that was needed in a way. And yeah, then after that you cannot really make a sprint, because it was so bad, the conditions there, and you could barely really get the power going. You cannot even call that a sprint in a way. It was basically pacing yourself to the finish line and give it your all and just hope that you don't make a mistake. And yeah, it was a very strong ride from Kant. Deserved winner for sure, but for Donschot definitely, I think that she will think about this a couple of times in the future. And I think that in the interview as well, she gave a very good point, and which is, you know, Kant kind of announced after or even before the race that this could have been her, or this is most likely her last national championship that she will ride, and next year she won't be attending it. And basically also for Donschot, the last time that she could have been winning against Kant, and I think the chances were definitely there if you look at the scenario of the race, but it was not meant to be. Kant got her 15th one, and I think there is, you know, we just have to massive respect for that achievement. And yeah, she has meant a lot for Belgium cyclocross, and especially for the women's side. And yeah, it was for her, you know, very deserved victory. And you know, interesting to see what she will do from now and how she will fill in the rest of her career in a way.
Yeah, Kant announced that she will be retiring after next cyclocross season, but that out of respect for the Belgian jersey, she wouldn't want to win it and then have the jersey not be on display an entire season. Which I think says you something about how Kant feels about it and about the jersey. It means a lot to her, and she's pretty proud of her country. I think for Donschot, just made two crucial mistakes. First of all, she should have tried to make that steep climb in the first part of the course first. Try and block Kant there. You avoid an attack there. Maybe you can attack later on in the lap. And then especially like the super long straight before the bridge, which leads you to the off-camber. You mentioned she could have overtaken on the off-camber. She could have tried an overtake on the second corner of the bridge. Or she could have actually started pacing, making it harder for Kant to place the acceleration and pass her. But nevertheless, despite the fact that Donschot did everything she could to make Kant win a 15th title in the final lap, Kant deserved that 15th title. Kant was stronger. There was a lot of talk in the Belgian broadcast about Grippo tires and Donschot messing up tire choices. Kant started on the Grippo tire. Donschot started on the Griffo but switched to Rhinos in the second lap. Done deal. Their tires didn't make a choice. The reason that Kant could ride up that first climb and that there was this other corner where she was riding a wide line and going up where Donschot was running on the inside, which lost her at 2 seconds every lap. The reasons for that is Kant had more power, she was stronger, Kant is more experienced in reading the course and riding the wider lines. Kant was just better. She should have won by 45 seconds if it wasn't for that silly crash because of a bad rut. That's racing. It was her own fault of going there. She got tangled in the course tape on another part. She was riding with a lot of risk, but that's fine. It's racing, and she won it. And yeah, as you say, Issam, 15 titles. I always get a bit sad by the way she's treated in the Belgian media. Kant is an icon of the sport. She's one of the greatest cyclocross riders ever. 3 world titles. Take a bow to that. I mean, especially that world title in Valkenburg. That was special. Her titles in BLS and Bogens in the Netherlands, they are seen as stolen titles. She had no right to win them, but she won them, and that then makes it irrelevant how you won them. She's the 3-time world champion. I'm 20 years old, so I'm 20 years old. Kant has been Belgian champion for 75% of my life. Ever since I started watching cyclocross, which was in 2012, Sonny Kant has been rocking around in a champion's jersey. Was it Belgian champion, then European champion, Belgian champion again, world title, back to the Belgian jersey. She's a true icon of the sport, and then it makes me a bit sad that so many of the Belgian media, spectators, they're out on having that streak ended. And I felt like yesterday when she announced that she will be retiring after last season, there was a bit of a turning point in there, mainly coming from Sven van Tugendhat. And of course, he's like the national team coach, so it's also his job to relativate things like that. But a bit of a turning point there, and that they're seeing like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be too harsh on her. Sure, Sonny Kant has been surpassed by a more talented generation, but that doesn't mean that we need to write her into the ground. We need to respect her career, and she's an icon of the sport, and I hope she will have a fitting retirement last year with another season like this, because yes, the past seasons haven't been good, and you can criticize her for that, but at the same time, she's still the best rider of Belgium, so the retirement isn't exactly calling. It's not like she's continuing too long.
No, I think that it is, you know, it's always difficult to know when you have to end your career in a way. And I think that for her, it's maybe the right decision. She has, you know, as I said, meant a lot for the sport. And you definitely want to win kind of on your high. And there is always this urge of trying to add a couple more years to your career. But, you know, how many times have we seen riders stay a little too long and try to go for that last paycheck and all that. I think that Kant is definitely not the type of rider that would do something like that, and is always with this competitive mindset and wants to achieve the best. And I think that is also that, just the willing of being the best, while it was deemed kind of impossible in a way. I think that was definitely that determined a little bit how her career went. And you know, it's just it's great to see that she was able to win and get that record, and a job well done for her career. And there is still some left in her, so you know, looking forward to see what she can do next year.
Behind Kant and Verdonschot, Ribeirol ended third. Was a decent ride by Ribeirol. I thought she looked very strong in the first lap. For a brief moment, I thought she would be the one challenging Kant, but Ribeirol didn't have it. She made a couple of mistakes and wasn't fit enough. She's been sick as well, apparently, in the lead-up to this event, so she needed to settle for third, and unlike last year, she was satisfied with not taking the win. If we look at the entire top 10, I don't think there's all too much to talk about here. Kant won ahead of Verdonschot and Ribeirol. Impressive fourth place by Fleur Moors, but on the other hand, if you look at the competition, it's not that much. She's just ahead of Laura de Schepper, another first year U23. The field really isn't that deep at Belgian championships. Laura de Schepper was the U23 champion because Belgium has this weird rule that if you're racing for a World Tour or a Women's World Tour team on the road, you're not allowed to compete for the U23 title. Very weird, very variations of that rule there and changing it around. But anyway, it is what it is. Laura de Schepper became Belgian U23 champion by ending 5th. Jinse Peters was 6th, Giona Krabbe 7th, Julie Brouwers 8th, Xide van Sinai 9th, and Marte Truijen ended 10th. Enough on Belgium, we hop across the border to Hogeveen, where the Dutch National Championships took place. That ended in a Balwaze Trek Lions party. We had hoped for maybe some close races, especially on the men's side, between Ronhaar, Van der Haar and Nieuwenhuis, but that race was not close at all. Early on in the race, Nieuwenhuis and Ronhaar opened the gap on Van der Haar. Van der Haar was an island in third for the entire race. He also ended there. Nieuwenhuis led, just like last year in Zaltbommel. But this year, he didn't break his cleat, and ultimately his high pace caused Ronhaar to make a couple of mistakes. Nieuwenhuis went solo and took his first national title ahead of his teammates Ronhaar and Van der Haar. Isam, I don't really have all too much to say about Dutch Nationals. The course was nice. Jens Dekker built it. I think he did a really good job. It looked fairly technical, but I think it wasn't that technical. With the mud that there was, I think it was just an out-and-out power course. Quite a bit of running as well. Weather conditions there were fairly bad. There was some rain. There was a bit of wind. It just came down to who had the most power. That was Nieuwenhuis. And I don't think it's that much of a surprise either, based on how things have been going in December and January.
No, indeed. I think it was a very honest course, and maybe even a little too honest in a way, because I would have loved a little bit more racing for the title, but it ended up in such a way. And yeah, like you said, Nieuwenhuis was definitely the one that came into this race with probably the best form in a way. And also, if you look at the previous races, looked in my opinion the best. But Ronar, with the youth behind him and also looking very good in various races, there was always that possibility. And obviously, I never really thought that Van der Haar wouldn't play a role in this championship. So it looked like it was going to be like a three-way battle in a way, but that wasn't really the case. And I think that Nieuwenhuis, you know, the change that he made and the decision that he made to then eventually race for Baloise Trek Lions, it's great to see him get rewarded with a title. I think he definitely deserves it, and it has been going quite well for him this season, so it's great to see. And I think, you know, he also got a course that just with the circumstances definitely suited him very well, and you know, a very deserved champion. And I think for Ronard, it's maybe just a little too early, as similar to Nice, but I think just with a different kind of, you know, view to it, because, you know, he was eventually second and had a very good race. And so yeah, I think that the championship played out in quite a dull manner, but a very deserved champion for sure.
Yeah, maybe Ronhaar could have been able to go a bit longer with Nieuwenhuis if he hadn't made a couple of mistakes. I think we also saw Van der Haar make a couple of mistakes. Ronhaar made one just before the entrance of pit one, and just a few too many. And that's okay. I think Ronhaar had like his high, at least in terms of relative form to the rest, when he won Dendermonde in that period of the season. He's not been bad. He's been pretty consistent, which deserves a round of applause, especially considering how he started this season, how he's done last season. But it just wasn't to be, and for Van der Haar, his form is not at his highest this moment. I'm interested to see how he will be at Worlds. I don't know. Of course, there could be good. Conditions there today were fast. That's something more for Van der Haar than this slugfest here. But yeah, it was just a matter of who had the most power, and those results came out. As discussed, the top three was Nieuwenhuis, Ronhaar, Van der Haar. Behind that, we found Ryan Kamp, who found a couple of extra sponsors. No black jersey for him anymore. Looks like Phoenix had some kits left from their Strade Bianche appeal, what they also raced in the Giro with. But Ryan Kamp is now sponsored by Phoenix. Ale, CD, a couple of Italian sponsors there. I'm kind of feeling that they will sign Ryan Kamp, the Rotov brothers, to one of their teams when the season ends. Don't think they'll extend Mees Hendricks. So I'm thinking that Kamp today ended ahead of Mees Hendricks, fifth place in the result of the combined race, because they scrapped the U23s out of them and put them in a separate result. But the fifth place there was for Tibor Del Grosso, who took the U23 title. Sixth was Mees Hendricks, seventh Corné van Kessel, eighth Bailey Groenendaal, ninth Danny van Lierop, tenth Lucas Janssen. I think we can go to the women's race with that. There, it was also not that interesting. Puk Pietersen had the fastest start and led, but she made a mistake halfway through the first lap. Lucinda Brandt took over, opened a 3-second gap. Pietersen could never really close it. Went to 5, back to 3, 7, back to 5, but then it snapped for Pietersen, and Brandt, who broke her nose last week in Zonhoven, went on to take the title ahead of Pietersen. Alvarado, who skipped Zonhoven, still had back pains. This is definitely not a championship made-up injury. Alvarado really suffering visibly on the bike, ended 4th. 3rd place went to Annemarie Worst. Issam, again here, not really that much to say. I think maybe we'd expected a bit more from Pietersen. The course looked fairly technical, as said, but it was really a power thing, and power-wise, Brandt was better. Brandt seemed to have a very good day, and especially with that running, there are few women who run better than Lucinda Brandt.
Yeah, I have to say that I was a bit surprised with Brandt actually participating, because, you know, normally a broken nose, I'm no doctor, but takes some time, and it's also quite irritating with the swelling sometimes. So that was a very good to see, and also maybe a sign of someone that kind of recovered from it and was able to race 100%, and she showed it in the race. And as you said, I think that she got a course that just fits her very well, and she was able to, you know, use that power to her advantage. And Peters, you know, even though the course definitely suits Brandt better, I would have expected Peters to hang on a little longer. But yeah, at a certain point, I think that, you know, when the gap just was just growing more and more, it was for her just difficult to fight back in a way. And it was in a way surprising, but also, yeah, you can kind of expect it on a course like this. So it was also quite a dull championship race in a way, but definitely deserved winner. And great to see that Brandt was able to get that title. And, you know, I don't think that she will get many more chances. You know, it's not saying that it's her last season or something, but it is probably going to be more and more difficult with the years to come. And I think that it's definitely great to see her get that Dutch championship.
Well, as I said just about Kant has been like an icon of times when I watched cyclocross. I mean, I've been actively watching since 2012. I've rewatched a lot of stuff from before that. And Kant is a rider who, throughout my time of watching cyclocross, is somebody who's like developed a lot. It's not like she's going to retire, but it's a pretty special pathway. In 2016-17 season, she made the decision to focus fully on cyclocross. She even thought about quitting road. Then when Paris-Roubaix for women was announced, she came back on that decision. But her development has been really special to follow. She always had the power, but her technical skills were lacking, and she's made a lot of progression on that aspect. So yeah, it was good to see, and I think today she was stronger. I mean, she said that broken nose didn't influence her at all, and that she was just free to go. It didn't affect her at all. She can breathe normally through her nose. So yeah, I don't know if I was really surprised that she would able to race. I mean, in football, we see a lot of people race with or play with masks to keep their nose in touch when it's broken. So maybe I was not really surprised, but her level here was good, and it was really good to see her go like that. Petersen just didn't have the answer. I'm not too worried about her form for the rest of the season, but I think for Petersen, the courses that are coming up, Benidorm, Hoge Heide, and Tabor, are all going to be difficult courses if they are dry. If they are dry, they are not technical. She doesn't really have a place where she can use her skill factor. And if that factor isn't really involved on the course, it's difficult. But we saw last week in Zonhoven already that Brandt is really, really, really good at the moment. And it will be interesting to see how she does when she has a clean head-to-head against Femme van Empel on a course like Benidorm. So, yeah, I look forward to that. Vorst ended third, some distance down. I think it's a small up for her. Betsema wasn't here. She has a knee injury. But yeah, normally that third place should have been for Alvarado. But I already said it in the summary. Alvarado has back issues and they are lingering. So we can only hope for the best, but it's not looking good. It really, really didn't look good today. If we look at the rest of the top 10, Bakker ended fifth ahead of Van Alphen, Bentveld, Molengraaf, Von Bertvorst and Kastelein. Don't think there's all too much to say about those results, apart from maybe Kastelein really being developed into a full road rider now, who's just doing cross because it's her passion. I think we can move on to the British National Championships, which took place in Falkirk on Saturday. It was a fast course in a park with a super steep wall in there, a couple of minor climbs around it, nothing too special. I would normally say business as usual, with Mason and Kay taking titles as Baxit wasn't there, but it wasn't a walk in the park for Mason because he had a bad start and needed to chase some, but he really shows this some that he's much better than the level of the riders who mostly race the domestic scene in the UK. He took the win comfortably in the end, despite that, way ahead of Thomas Meen, who put up a decent fight. And those two are really the best British cyclocross riders. They're far ahead of the rest.
Yeah, totally. And I think, as you said, for Mason, it was definitely an expected title, but not the way you would with the start. Definitely did make it a little bit difficult, more difficult for himself. But I think in the end, you know, it was everyone kind of came to his on his place, and Mason was just the better guy, and is also at the moment the one that is, you know, next to Pidcock, is definitely the best British cyclocross rider. And it's great to see that the development that he has made, and you know, he's now running with Cyclocross Red, so that's definitely a plus in a way with a team that can really support you in Cyclocross. And yeah, I think that it was a very deserved title, and probably will add more and more titles in the future, because as of now, it seems that Pidcock is not going to show up to these championships, and then it's going to be difficult to see who is coming up. But yeah, for him, it's definitely looking good, and it's great to see that he was able to prolong that national title.
Yeah, he's just very well-rounded. I don't think his form is the best, and that start really is an issue. That you're not with the first 10 out of a field of this quality is a bit worrying, but it's something you will need to work on just to complete it. Lewis Askey Racing for FDG ended third in this race. It was a pretty impressive performance, and actually nice to see him do a bit more cross this season. Can be very, very short about the women's race. Issam, I won't even be asking you for a question here, because that was a Anna Kay masterclass TT victory on cruise control. Call it whatever you want, but Baxet is in Spain, potentially even doing an altitude camp. She's doing a training camp, that's for sure. So, yeah, without that, Anna Kay was the big favorite. Imogen Wolf made the switch from the junior category to the elite category for this race. She had already won the juniors title. Wolf didn't have it. She was on par with Kay, at least for me, before the race. But Wolf was tired from a big Christmas block, had a bad day, ended further down outside of the top five even. And with that, Kay was in control, took the victory. What you would expect. Second place was for Ella McLean Howell. And sore of the day was Grace Inglis ending third, a rider who was is 28 years old, hasn't raced much, and just basically a local rider showing up for nationals and ending third, which was interesting to see. Let's take a look at some of the other results in Europe. France, the national championships there took place in Camors. It was a typical French course in Bretagne. It was nice to see. I like the courses there. It's always wide, bit of elevation, had a sand pit, had some barriers, had some road, bit of everything. Men's race there came down to a sprint. There was a bit of rain during that race, but despite that, Clément Venturini took the win ahead of Joshua Dubot. That was a sprint. Third place went to Théo Thomas. Think of some. I don't know how many titles Venturini has won now, but they're surely adding up. I think it's like his sixth elite title. Had his it's a streak, I think, at least since 2019. Pretty confident about that one, but it's been going well for him. His results in the Belgian races have been a bit below par. Zoller was good, but Venturini, as always, has one goal, and his goal is the World Championships. And for the past 2 years, he's gotten a top 10. He was 5th in Fayetteville, he was 10th in Hogerheide. Venturini is a rider who excels on fast courses, and I think he might be in for a treat, because the Czech Championships took place in Tábor on the World's course, which is very smart because it gives a home advantage to the Czech riders who will all have raced it already. But regardless of that, it looked super fast today. Of course, we will need to wait for the conditions, but if they are like today, and there's a reasonable probability they are, Venturini can be in for another top 10, because on a course like that, I wouldn't put it past him.
Definitely within the possibilities, and but you know, as good as I know that Tábor is a difficult place overall to guess what the circumstances will be. I mean, it's one day it is going to be dry, the other day it's going to be snowing, and the day after it's going to be raining. So it's tough to say if it's going to be a fast course or not, but at the moment it looks like it's heading towards that. And if it's going to be a fast course, Venturini definitely has the quality to get himself within a top 10. But yeah, we have to wait and see how that will play out. And I don't know about his form, to be honest. I feel like if you compare it maybe to the last couple of years, I don't know if it's equal or it's maybe a little less, but it's hard to say where he is at the moment, especially if you look at the races that he has done before. Not spectacular, you know, so we have to wait and see. But if he gets a fast course, it's definitely going to suit him very well, and then from there it's you know, top 10 is definitely not something out of reach for him. So that's going to be interesting, and you know, great to see him have the title again.
The women's race in France was won by Hélène Clausel, almost a minute lead over Amandine Foucounet, with Anne Morichon rounding out the podium. No real surprises there. Clausel has been national champion for a while there as well. In Italy, the men's race was won by Filippo Fontana. It was a relatively close race. Jacob Durigoni was up there in its second, with Bertolini in third. It's a shame Fontana and Durigoni don't race a couple of more races, because they are Italy's best riders, and it would be interesting to see what they could do. I do remember Fontana last year did the same as he did this year. He just raced a bunch of Italian races, including the national championships, then showed up to Besançon and Worlds. I don't know if he's doing that again this year, but it will be interesting, because I think he can be a rider, not necessarily this year, but in the future, that is able of reaching the top 10s of the Belgian races with the progression he's been making. I mean, Bertolini and Durigoni have done it before, but the state of Italian cyclocross is a bit of a mystery to me, and I struggle to really get insights on there. The Italians are not where I have most of my sources, but what I do know is that Sara Casasola comfortably won the women's race, and she beat Letizia Borghesi and Rebecca Garibaldi there. Casasola will be nice to see her in the champion's jersey, is some taking over from Persico, who didn't do any cross at all this winter.
Yeah, and as it should be, to be honest, because I think that she definitely represented Italy at the front in the women's category. So I wouldn't have liked it if Persico would have showed up to this race and potentially take the title away. So I think that it is good as it is right now, really deserved. And I think it's also good for the representation. Eh? If you are the best of your country, you deserve that title as well. And so it's not how it always goes, but it's great to see that it happened. And it's another great moment for her in a season that has been going quite well. So I definitely think that, you know, those are just things that you kind of need to, as I said, make a name for yourself. As we have said already with Viseur, you need these kind of races, and they eventually add up to your career, and it makes it easier for you to get potential sponsors and all that. So great from her that she was able to get the victory there in Italy.
I do think it's a shame that Persico didn't do a cross race, but I can't say it's unexpected after joining UAE, a transfer that I'm not really a fan of for a number of reasons, this being one of them. I think it would have been nice to see her do cross Tabor. The same goes for Vanterini as for her. She could have potentially even been in the mix for a podium if that course was fast, like we saw in Fightville, like we saw in Hoogeheide last year. But as you say, Casasola deserved that title, just as Felipe Orts deserved the title in Spain, won by 3 minutes on Gonzalez Macho, more than 3 minutes, almost four even, on Mario San Milan. Kevin Suarez Fernandez, to be precise, unfortunately withdrew from the race. Order also, as usual, in the women's race, with Lucia Gonzalez Blanco taking the win ahead of Sofia Rodriguez Rever. Third place there went to Irene Bragado. Then we'll come to those Czech championships, Issam. They took place on the course of Worlds. I thought that was nice to see. It's a nice idea. The course is there. It doesn't have any extra costs for them pretty much to organize this race now. Boros took the title after a relatively close race with Adam Tupalik, rides for Tour de Tietema Unibet now. Zdenek Stibar ended third there. The women's race was a walkover. Zemanova took the win there. It was a cruise control victory. She attacked in the first lap and just didn't need to go deep. Noskova in its second, former runner-up at U23 Worlds way back in 2016, races for Cofidis now, targeting Worlds just because she likes it. And Simona Spensa ended third. First of all, Sam, I think it's nice to see it Tabor. It gave us a nice look at the course. A couple of things I noticed was a big bridge after the start. They removed the big bottleneck on the first part of the course, and the second loop of the course after the barriers is now being done in reverse. Those were my findings about the course. But the racing was pretty entertaining there. Boros, not an easy win. Tupalik, second. I just said that Noskova is targeting Worlds. I don't know what Tupalik is doing. But that is close to Boros. Boros, who was good in Diegem, in or just outside of the top 10. I wonder what Tupalik will do. I feel like this is a rider that could have had a very good cross career if he focused on it. His moment at Zolder Worlds, where he thought he became U23 title but celebrated a lot too early, are infamous, are legendary. But I feel like if he goes to Worlds, he can dream about ending in the top 10. He seems to have a decent form. Course seems to be well for him. I always hope that he comes back to the cross in a similar way as Fanturini, because both could have had very good cross careers, but are kind of having below average or just average road careers instead.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's unlikely that he will maybe try and get more involved in the cross, and his result is definitely promising. And you know, I think that if he focuses a little bit more on the cyclocross, he's definitely someone that could find himself within the top 10 of regular races. And it's a bit of a shame that he kind of pursued a career on the road. I think obviously everyone is entitled to feel where he's most comfortable at, and obviously there is probably also the money factor, and the whole that obviously plays a role, and you want to go for a sustainable future, a future that will secure yourself for what you're doing at the moment, and also after your career is over. So yeah, it's in a way understandable, but I hope that maybe the love for cyclocross will bring him back a little bit more actively, and he definitely has the potential and the talent that cannot be completely gone. So it's obviously a lot of years that it went over it, but you know, who knows, maybe he will stick more to cyclocross a little bit more, put some more effort into it, and race some more races, because I think that definitely is there is definitely still some talent behind him, some potential, so hopefully he can find that in the next couple of seasons.
Then it's time for a big roundup of the results of the other national championships. In Switzerland, Timon Rueck took the win ahead of Kevin Kuhn. Kuhn does not seem to have the best form at the moment, Rueck taking the title for a second year in a row. Andri Friesknecht ended third there. The women's elite title went to Alessandra Keller. Big win there, 2.5 minutes ahead of Rebecca Estermann, and Merit Zimmermann ended third there. The German national title has been returned to Marcel Meissen. Last year he somehow lost the title to Sascha Weber, but he won. The women's title went to Elisabeth Brandau. Brandau beat Judith Kral, who was the defending title. Order restored. The veterans beat the youth there. In Poland, Marek Konwa took the national title. That is also no surprise. He is the only Polish rider that does well. He had a pretty good showing this season, won a bunch of races. The women's title went to Susanna Kristala. That was a close race. It came down to a sprint with Barbara Borjowiczeka. Third place there went to Malwina Mull. Then the Austrian National Championships, one of the more niche, Nadja Heigl, one of the names that's a bit more known there, one of the first women to bunny hop the barriers, took the win there ahead of Nora Fischer. The men's elite title went to Gregor Ragal, with Lukas Hatz ending second there. That was a pretty close race, no footage, so I don't really know what went on there. Denmark, no surprise, Daniel Wies Nielsen, really the best Danish cyclocross rider there. This year, no Simon Andreasen at the start there. He showed up a couple of times in the past, the former junior world champion, but Daniel Wies Nielsen took a comfortable win. This year, the women's elite title went to Antoort Liesbicht. In Luxembourg, there were no surprises either. Maria Schreiber took the national title ahead of Christine Majerus. The men's title, not really relevant seeing the level of their riders, but Loic Bettendorf took the national title there. Surprise in Hungary, Vanka Vas didn't take the title because she's on training camp. Janka Farkas took the Hungarian title. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll see much of that jersey in the upcoming season. Marton Dina took the men's elite title. The same goes there. I don't think we will see much of those jerseys. In Ireland, Dean Harvey took the national title on the men's elite side, while Alia Rafferty took the win on the women's elite side. Portugal also had their national championships. Roberto Ferreira took the win in the men's race, while Anne Mafalda Sa Santos won the women's elite title. In Serbia, there was also a national championship. The women's elite title went to Bonjana Jovanović, with Dusan Vesjonović taking the men elite title. The results from Romania have not been published on the UCI website, so that leaves us with the results from Japan, where Hiroshi Oda took the national title, while Akari Kobayashi took the women's elite title. I think that will conclude everything for the national championships. The only national championships remaining this season are the national championships of Greece. They are taking place on the same day as the World Cup in Hogerheide. Islam, thank you for being here. Tomorrow there is racing in Otegem. Hopefully no feud between Van Turenhout and Zweek there this year, so we can have a bit of recovery before we head to Benidorm at the end of the week.
Yes, thank you for having me. And the usual race at Wortegem, and then from there we slowly but surely go to the last couple of weeks before the World Championship. So thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for spending your Sunday evening talking about Cyclocross Nationals. It was a nice weekend. Thanks everyone for listening. We will be back with an episode about Benidorm next week. See you guys then. Goodbye.